Hello ladies and gents, thank you as always for tuning in to another episode of Behind the Brain podcast. So today I've got a friend on who goes by Rose, and she's done a little bit of bodybuilding, and she's going to talk about some of the common things that happen in bodybuilding that I don't think a lot of people actually know. So without further ado, enjoy the show. Hello ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Behind the Brain podcast. And today we've got a special guest who goes by Rose.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine, but she's got quite a cool story about her bodybuilding career. And some of the things that we're going to talk about today are things that I think need a little bit more light shined on. So let's talk about when you first started lifting weights, and then we'll progress on to what got you into bodybuilding.
Okay, first off, I've never been told I've had a bodybuilding career before, so thanks for that.
That's right,
you when I first got into lifting weights, must have been 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, I think. I'd never lifted a weight before, ever in my life. I've always been very sporty, always been into fitness. Always done some kind of sport, and competing was not new to me either. I've always done some kind of competition right the way through school, whether it's running, athletics. So I've always kept fit, but going to the gym, probably about 6 years ago, I joined a gym and I had a friend there, and he'd always come over to me and just chat while I was on the treadmill or the rowing machine, because that's what I would do whenever I'd go in. I'd go in for an hour and I'd run on the running machine, or I would do like the little resistance ones that were in like a circle, and I'd do a bit of that, and that would be it.
That's what a lot of people do though, isn't it, when they go in the gym. It's just like go on something that's real automatic and you just move and it just tells you what to do, isn't it?
Yeah, I actually remember having my induction there, and she kind of took me around and showed me how to use things. And she said, will you ever go and lift weights? And I remember being like, no, I will never go anywhere near there. That is just a complete different world to me. And it was very scary. Kind of, I remember being on the treadmill and looking over, and it just felt like a different world over there. So that's what I'd always do, and he'd always come over and chat to me. He would say, so come then, Rose, when are you going to go and lift some weights or do some resistance training? You're always just on the treadmill. And I'd be like, no, 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 constantly saying no. After a few months or so, he said, come on, I've got half an hour. Let's just do a little something, just introduce you, see how you get on. So I did. And actually, I did really enjoy it. It was something new. Like I say, I've always enjoyed fitness, so it was good to do something a little bit different. And it was a good sales technique, because I signed up to like 6 sessions with him. So, I did 6 sessions where it was like an hour long. He'd show me various different things that I could do, all like kind of full body, nothing outrageous, just he showed me a few full body sessions that I could continue doing, and that was it. So I started after that. I could kind of go in, I could do my own thing, and you meet people that are in there as well, so when you do get the confidence to kind of go there, you start speaking to other girls and other guys in there, and naturally you learn more about weights, and then you start learning, you know, when you've got friends that you can go with, you then meet, you can go more. And I just naturally started building muscle very quickly that way.
So you got into the newbie gains.
Into the newbie gains, yes.
But you are definitely someone that, from a genetics point of view, you are definitely someone that can look at weights and you build muscle. So I bet your body shape changed in that short amount of time, actually.
Very quickly, yes. My body does respond. I don't know if it's because I've always done fitness, athletics, or whatever it might be, naturally being quite sporty. And when I do a sport, I do naturally pick it up quite quickly. that's not being big-headed or anything. Mm. That's just, you know, I've always just been quite gifted when it comes to sport. So I naturally did pick it up quite quickly when I started lifting weights anyway. So, yeah.
And then, so say you started lifting weights, when's that point coming up where you feel like you're going to compete? Has someone said that you should compete, or have you sort of, the community that you've got around you now, like these new friends and people that you've made for the gym, has that sort of opened that door to, oh, bodybuilding, women bodybuild, da, da, da. Do you know what I mean? And what's brought you into that realm of, oh, I might compete?
Yeah, so I never knew anything about women's bodybuilding prior to going in there. I mean, I knew about men's bodybuilding, but didn't even know that women bikini was a thing. Yeah, and that was just introduced to me from friends and boyfriends and things like that in the gym, that you soon learn about it. And they were like, oh, you would be really good at that. You know, you should do it. And me, naturally, being the competitive person I am, was like, yeah, I can do that any day. So, yeah, it was very early on. I'd probably only been lifting weights for about 6 to 8 months. Yeah. So, yeah, not even a full year I'd been lifting weights. I just thought, yeah, okay, I can do that. I was looking, you know, pictures and thought, yeah, easy. And so I went from there, and that's when I got a coach.
Yeah.
And started training with a coach, unlike my friend that would just kind of do PT sessions in the gym and things like that, a coach that was actually made for bodybuilding as such.
And how was that process like? What did you enjoy, say, the build up to competing at, you know, that one day, looking your best on that one day? Or yeah, what, talk to me about that process.
The process, so for my first show, obviously it was the excitement of doing your first show, going to meet your coach, doing all of your photos. I didn't know anything about it either, so I kind of got given a plan where I would have a food plan and I would have a certain regime of upper body, lower body, full body, things that I would need to do. Gave me a good idea on exactly what they were looking for, so around the federation, what category I would need to go into, that kind of thing, really. How did I feel about that process? It was fine. At the beginning, it was all kind of new to me. I wasn't in bad shape anyway. I think in that process, after a little while, I may have had one or two kind of instances where I just completely went off the rails and I was like, no, I want food, I want cake, and I haven't eaten a big cake for so long, so I'm just going to completely stuff my face with it. And I even remember quite close to the competition, it was probably weeks out, I just went to the shop and just looked at the cake. And I just remember thinking, one won't hurt. Wow. Literally, I got into the car eating this bit of cake and I was like, that's not doing it. Just that one thing. And I went back into the shop and literally must have filled my entire basket with all sorts of chocolate, donuts, all the rest of it. And just I'm just nailed the whole lot, which is mad, really, because I would never have been able to eat that amount of
And what so how did you feel after that, knowing that obviously you've got that show a few weeks out and effectively, you know, you've gone in that shop and done that? How did you feel after that, and what was sort of the procedure of what to do after that?
So this is what is interesting. So not once did it cross my mind at that point that actually what I've just done is a big issue. Like that wasn't ever highlighted, the fact
effectively
that it is a binge. That was kind of never really highlighted. It was a case of, right, okay, what do we need to do in order to get, you know, get you back on track, which is needed if I did want to stand on that stage. You can't just go and eat that amount of stuff and expect to look a certain way. So you, when you are competing, there is no room for error. If you want to compete, you want to look your best and you want to win, which I did. So it was a case of, right, this is probably the amount of calories that you have just absolutely annihilated and smashed in one day. So how can we reduce those calories going forward? So over the next couple of weeks, we all almost need to restrict that amount back again. Which, after that amount of, you know, after what had just essentially happened, I'm now even worse off. And I, you know, that's not a bad thing on that particular person, saying this is what you need to do in order to get back, because that's
you've got a goal at the end of the day, haven't you, to be that, you know, your best self on that day. Even though me and you both know, when people go onto that that bodybuilding stage, they're actually, their health is not the best on that day, is it? You know, people feel like crap, but at the end of the day, you've got that outcome of a goal, and that's what, you know, needed to happen so that you would obviously feel your best and potentially win on that day.
Yeah, which
did. by the way, I did win.
I'm just gonna throw that one in there, but yeah, no. So I think that was the first incident that was missed that should have got highlighted. I think.
Okay. So all right, and so we've got closer now. So we've obviously, you've had that, say, let's say binge. And now you're back on track. So talk to me a little bit about that day of competing then.
I loved the day.
Did you? Brilliant.
Yeah, I did. I literally had the best time. I was just high on energy and life and excitement, and about, you know, there was so much nerves going on as well, because I just never stepped on stage. And I met some amazing girls. For me, still to this day, that was the best thing that I've taken away from it. You know, my best friend that is actually coming down to see me this weekend. So, I would never have met her. So I met her on the day.
Oh, brilliant.
And you do kind of, you know, meet a lot of other people, which is lovely. And you get to share that experience with them. And I remember being backstage, and the tanning lady was kind of like topping up my tan, and I just remember saying to her, I am so scared, like I'm so nervous, I don't know what to do. Like, she was just like, you'll be absolutely fine. And to be honest, she kind of saved me a little bit there. She was lovely. But as soon as I stepped out on stage, it was like all of the nerves went, and and I did just have a great time. I could hear like my mum and my friends and my dad like screaming in the crowd, and the whole process of being up there was great.
So that is obviously quite a daunting thing, because I've obviously seen bodybuilding shows, and you know what I mean, you're up there with all these other women, you know, all in great shape, but I do think, God, what was it like looking at the crowd? Because that must be quite like, you open those curtains or whatever, and you're like, oh Lord. Do you know what I mean? You got these, how many judges are there? There's like eight or ten or the day.
Yeah, it can vary.
And you've got them that are obviously the guys that are obviously judging your physique, and then you've got all these people behind it. I bet that's actually quite daunting. But you're just in the zone then, aren't you? Like looking at one thing, I imagine.
Yeah.
Just posing.
It is a little bit. You kind of just, you forget the faces in the crowd, and you just try and listen, you know, you try and gauge what the judges are thinking, and you've just got no idea. And then obviously you just kind of hope for first call outs or whatever it might be. And if you get that, then you think, oh, buzzing. And if you don't get that, then you think, oh, well, I've got no chance now. So, but yeah, you just keep trying to smile, and you just trying to keep remember everything that you've been taught, I guess.
So you've won, obviously you mentioned that earlier, so I thought I'd say that again for you. So how did that feel? Obviously I know that's going to feel amazing, but What happened after? So you've won?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so what's the plans from there?
So as I've come off stage, I've gone and, you know, met my, I've got my trophy and my neck and all the rest of it. So I've gone and met my friends and my family in the audience. And I still remember the first thing was one of my friends gave me a bag of peanut M&Ms. That was like the first thing. As soon as you get off, it's all about this obsessive over what are you going to eat when you get off stage and what, because you've obviously gone for so long without things, in my case, a couple of weeks, but then I'd obviously done all sorts of things to try and get back to it. So, yeah, then you start thinking about all of the food and everything that you can eat. So, yeah, I remember nailing a whole bag of peanut M&Ms. Like that. That was the first thing. Yeah, literally just hoovered up, gone. And then you're thinking about the next thing that you can eat. But I was just so happy. I just wanted to celebrate with my friends and family and enjoy the moment, essentially. So I've now got my ticket to the British finals as well, after winning my category in the championship. So I was just then, I've got to do everything I can now for the finals. And that was the next stage.
And how far is that between the time you just competed? Like how long until the next one, the finals?
It was about 6 weeks.
Really?
Yeah, so I did one quite end in the end on in the year. So yeah, it wasn't long until I had British finals. So it was a case of, I remember speaking to my coach and saying, you know, can't wait to do the British finals. And it was a case of, well, enjoy, you know, a couple of days rest and food, and then we'll get, you know, we need to then get straight back to it. And I'm like, yeah, but you're high in life at that point, you know, you forget the whole process of what you've just gone through in order to be this next to nothing, tiny and controversial but pretty much anorexic person on stage.
How was that process then? So you've got 6 weeks now of, like, obviously you've gone and eaten the things that you've wanted to, obviously sort of like a bit of a rest, a bit of recovery. How was that next process of going to that second time round of competing?
So you take away all the feedback and you learn the points that you need to do, which is in those couple of days, I ate my body weight in all sorts of things. So you naturally on a scales will gain weight quite quickly because water and, you know, all the rest of it. So you'll naturally blow up, which I did. So then I was like, oh, I've put on all of this weight. Oh my goodness. So now I need to, you know, proper get back to it, which I did. To be honest, it was such a short period of time. It was tough and I needed to get even smaller. That was one of the things. So tighter. Yeah. So, you know, we just worked the cardio loads more and proper burnout. But again, like it was for that particular competition that was needed. That's not a case of I'm doing anything unusual to what anybody else is doing. That is the burnout that you have to do. So, you know, I would be getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'd be going and doing my fasted cardio in the morning that I would need to do, which can range from between an hour to an hour and a half's worth of cardio. And then I would be getting shower change, going to work all day. Sometimes if I hadn't finished my hours and a half cardio, I would do an hour, and then at lunch I'd quickly run out, go and do my other half hour that I missed, come back, work until 5 o'clock, and then I would go to the gym again. I would do my weight session that I was supposed to do.
How did you feel for those weight sessions? Sorry, How were they? Because I can imagine that you're expending a lot of calories there, so you're burning a lot and you're not eating a lot, really. So how was those weight sessions?
I was shattered, and I'd probably just dosed myself up on pre-workout as much as possible. You know, you feel like you couldn't do it without it. If you run out of pre-workout, it was a case of, oh, I can't do this session. It was just nearly impossible, which is mad because I've not taken pre-workout for God knows how long, and I can go and run a marathon. So, well, it's a little bit different. But, yeah, you do feel drained. You feel, to be honest, I think you actually don't realise how much your brain is probably not functioning that well, because you don't really know what's normal and what's not anymore. But you know, you would do silly things, and or you would forget your train of thought and you'd be talking, and then all of a sudden you'd forget what you're doing, and you'd just be dazed all the time and you'd be tired. But when you then try and get to sleep, you can't get to sleep because you've just taken two scoops of pre-workout at 5:30 in the evening, and then you're trying to get to bed and you can't get to bed, and then the whole cycle would just continue again and you'd just be absolutely shattered. So, I remember at one point being at my mum's, I'd nip round, and I was chewing on some food that I was allowed at the time. And I remember looking in the mirror and taking a video of it, because you could see pretty much like my entire jaw and skeleton moving underneath everything. And it was like scary, because what was scary was that I actually, you know, that's a look that I would never have wanted ever.
Didn't recognize yourself.
I don't find that attractive, but at the same time, you're so pleased with yourself that you've managed to get that small. Like, you're just like, so I'm sitting there videoing it, almost really happy that I've managed to get to this point where you can see my skeleton moving, but failing to really think of the fact that if that was just normal day-to-day life, I would have been horrified at the fact that I'd do that. And if I'd seen that in somebody else, you know, I wouldn't have thought, well, that's really attractive. But there you are looking at yourself thinking, this is amazing.
It's so interesting, isn't it? But that, like, yeah, again, you had a goal and an outcome that you had to hit. So that was sort of obviously ticking that box. So how did the second show go?
So, I mean, I didn't place anywhere, but I still, you know, it was a long day, and actually the whole day was just not as enjoyable. It was running really late, it was really slow, all the times we were supposed to be on, we weren't beyond, and I just kind of lost interest, I guess, because it was such a long day. And I think by that point I was just so drained, I was so tired that I couldn't even feel excited about being there anymore. So I think I probably got on stage at about 7:00 in the evening, which you're obviously doing your whole lack of water and all the rest of it. So I'm thirsty, I'm not allowed to drink. I'm hungry, I'm not allowed to eat. I'm tired, I'm not allowed to sleep. I'm bored, and my, you know, it's just, you can't, and you've got your family there, which you've kind of dragged to come and see you. They've been there all day and they're getting a bit bored and fed up and tired. And the whole day was just a bit of a bore and a washout. But obviously then it got to the point where it was like, you know, you're going on soon. So you start to get a bit excited again and all the rest of it. And yeah, so then the excitement was there, definitely not as much as the first time. And then it kind of just got to the point where I was like, I just want it over and done with. I just want to get it done so I can just then go and enjoy my evening with my family. That was all I could think about, really, at that point, just going and enjoying the night and having it finished. And I did, so I still enjoyed being up there and I still had a great time. And, you know, it was really still lovely meeting the girls backstage. You know, you got to meet some that you'd probably seen in pictures and stuff, so to find out who you were going to be competing against, the girls that you'd competed with before. You got to speak to those. So that was nice. But as soon as it was done and I'd gone off stage, I remember going to see my family and they were like, you know, do you want to go and watch anything else? And I was like, no, I just want to go home.
Really?
I just want to go out. Yeah, I was just like, I've had enough. Let's just go. I knew we were going out for dinner that night. And, well, I nailed 4 massive donuts straight away. So I did that. And then, I just wanted to go. I just wanted to get away from it a little bit. So it was very, very different experience. And obviously, I know I didn't place anywhere or do anything like that, and I'm not usually like a bad loser or a bad winner either. Like, I'm just, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not one of these people that will say it's only taking part that counts. When I do something, I do it because I want to win. If I don't, then I don't. But I was just purely fed up of everything.
Exhausted.
By then, I was absolutely shattered. I was exhausted. Yeah.
So, do you find out quite early that you sort of, dare I say it in a harsh way, not made the cut? Do you find that out? Like, how does that work? Like the placing system.
So, if you are in what, like the top 10, then that's when you'll have to come back, and then they'll assess who's, I think it's 6 or something, come out of the first top 10. And then the rest, yeah, you can all, there was literally, we were the largest, so we had something like 42 of us on stage at that point. And you just felt, it felt like a little bit like a cattle market. So they'd have to like put, you know, some to the front, some at the back, and then you'd like walk around in a circle and, yeah, it was all just a bit all over the show. The whole thing wasn't very great, but you just kind of get on with it and you do what you can on stage. So, yeah, so the girls that had come top 10 had to kind of go back off, wait to come back on. So part of me was even thinking, if I've got a spear any longer, then I'm going to be literally bored out of my brain. So when I kind of got to go off and then just enjoy my evening, I was...
You felt relief.
I did feel a bit of relief, massively.
So that's happened, and obviously you've had a less pleasant experience for your second time bodybuilding, competing. What's the process after that then? Because obviously it's just a completely different experience. Has that tainted the way that, I don't know, has it tainted training, bodybuilding, competing? Or was it, let me know.
Well, I competed again.
I didn't know
that. I competed again, yeah.
Right.
So I did compete again. I had a bit of time off. And it was actually that in between that final and competing again that I had a real, that's when like the food process for me just became a massive issue. And I actually think I competed again because I just got really lost. So I would struggle to just kind of get back to, I forgot what my life was like before, in a way. And it was towards the end of the year, so Christmas and stuff was coming up. So you're surrounded by a lot of alcohol and food, and I wasn't allowed any of that, you know. And even things like when I do a lot with friends and family, you know, I've always been a really sociable person, and that was completely removed from me. So when, you know, my friends or family would be going out for dinners and drinks, I wouldn't go, because it's best to just not surround yourself with that kind of stuff, because you're not going to have a real great time, to be honest. So I just wouldn't go because I would be constantly worried about the food and the alcohol that would be put in front of me. And, you know, the fear that I might then eat some and not be allowed it. So I was really confused about that whole Christmas period. I was very scared of food and drink. Yeah, you were. You wanted it because you hadn't had it for so long. But you had almost believed in yourself that by all these foods that you weren't allowed for so long were bad for you and that you shouldn't have it. So you would feel, you would eat it, but then you would immediately feel guilt afterwards for having something like that. And then Christmas came along, which is just full of festivities, food, drink, everything. And again, you wouldn't know how to act or handle yourself in that kind of situation. So it was very unusual for me at that time, from being somebody that's always out, sociable. You know, I love a drink, I love going out for a drink, I love seeing friends, love going out for, you know, food, coffee, whatever it might be. I just didn't know how to do that anymore. So I was, my weight was yo-yoing up and down constantly.
Did you feel quite alone?
You feel, yes, you do actually, because you don't really want to tell anybody that you are struggling with something like that, because you feel that you'll completely get judged, you know. And because I'd come, you know, from a family that's always kind of celebrating, and they just wouldn't have got it either. It'd be a case of, you know, what do you mean? I don't understand, sort of thing.
Yeah, so, they just wouldn't be able to empathize with you and understand it at all, would they?
Not at all. So I think you naturally try and confide in people that have also done it, but then what you end up doing is naturally then steering back to that way of living and thinking. So my, you know, my option was, how do I fix this? Well, I need to do what I know how to do, which I'd just done for the past however long, which was, well, I'll compete again.
Really?
Yeah, because then you haven't got to think about anything and you're not allowed to surround yourself with all of these things. And maybe that will just make my head straight if I do that. So, you know, I'm not happy with how I look at the moment, because that's another thing. When you have been so tiny, to go back to anything but that, I'm not going to say a normal weight, because there's no such thing as a normal weight, but when you go back to what is not that rib showing, you know, everything, then you will always feel fat. So I felt fat, and I felt disgusting in myself, and that if I wasn't this stage ready person that people expect you by now to be as well. So when you turn up and you're not in this shredded abs and all the rest of it, it's, you know, people are like, oh, I thought you were some kind of like bodybuilder gym goer, like, and you've just turned up and you don't look like that. So then you think, oh, like, I need, you know, that's what people are expecting me to be like, that's what I need to be like. I didn't mean anything by it. It wasn't even a harsh, you know, they, for them, that would have just been a normal conversation. And any other time, like now, someone wants to say something to me, you just batter it off. But I was so insecure in my own body and so fearful to let anybody know about that, that I just thought, well, I need to go back to it. So that was what made me compete again.
And how was... So feeling, so when you've obviously contacted the same coach or a new coach?
I've got a new coach now, I thought I wanted to try a female coach, so I got a female coach. And I, again, that was nice because she had a bit more of like a female audience with her. So,
it's like, you know, a team.
Well, it was a team. So I got to enjoy speaking to others and having that same experience. We got to share, which is, again, you know, how me and one of my best friends now, you know, she was part of that team. And it was a different experience, definitely, because I'd already done the first experience, so I had a bit of knowledge. I'd obviously built more muscle by this point as well, because I had been lifting weights for longer. But I guess the category and everything that I kind of wanted to, I felt that I needed to go in and all the rest of it. You know, you're a bit unsure at that time. You're going in probably not the best state of mind. You're going in because you feel that that's the way that you need to look and anything else isn't right. And you're just insecure and you don't like yourself. So that was the only issue with going into that one. But I done it.
Yeah.
And I was ready a lot earlier. I actually loved that show. That was really enjoyable for me, because I got to do it with my best friend. I had friends that came up and watched, and we just had such a laugh from literally the day dot, like from the moment we woke up, well, actually to the moment we were traveling up there, to right to the very end. We just had each other and we had the best time, and we just had such a laugh. So it was lovely. I did the show. I didn't, you know, she'd never placed either, actually, and she came third in hers, so that was brilliant. I didn't place anywhere, and I just didn't care, because I just had the best day, which was lovely. I came off and, you know, I was thinking, well, okay, well, I'll go and get my feedback, but we wanted to go by that point. We didn't want to wait around. So I kind of went and spoke to one of the judges, and essentially my feedback was, you have too much muscle for this category. Like, you're too big. And I probably was, to be honest, when I probably felt quite big next to the other girls. I had a lot more muscle, and when I came off, she just said, you know, you need to either scale down or you need to go up.
Was that like, do you reckon that was like the worst bit of advice you could have got at that point? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's, do you know what I mean?
I don't know. It left me a bit confused about the situation. And the show that I was initially supposed to do, I went away and spoke to my coach about it. It was like 4 weeks away or something like that. And she kind of said to me, you know, what do you want to do? And she was like, in order for you to get smaller, we're just going to have to literally cut your calories ridiculously low, and you're just going to have to stay on that cardio machine for as long as you like. And that wasn't wrong in what I would probably need to do in order to try and get as small as I can in 4 weeks' time. Or it was a case of, you go away and you do an off season, and you grow more muscle in order to go up to the next one, which was quite a bit bigger from where, you know, bikini to the next is quite a big jump. So I was like, right, okay. So I thought, I don't really want to get bigger. I knew in my head that the muscle that I'd built, I actually hated the way I looked, which is quite odd, because even though I was working so hard in order to look a certain way, and when I was bigger, I hated it. I never found myself attractive. That wasn't what I personally found attractive. I was getting, I know people always say you can't get too big, but I was too big. I wasn't happy. That was, for me, how I felt comfortable. I was too big. So I was like, okay, so let's smash cardio. Let's just cut all my calories. I think I lasted about a week before I crash and burn. Yeah, because I was doing nothing, you know, just cardio 7 days a week, so much of it, eating dust, and I just burnt out, and I just said, I can't do it anymore. I'm not going to do it. And had a bit of like toys out the pram. And
rightly so, though. Like, you think about, you've just gone through that event. You've got this feedback off someone that, in my eyes, just doesn't understand fucking communication. And and now you're like, right, what's the next step? But actually, you probably needed a bit of a break, right? Not, do you know what I mean? That's what your body's literally crying out for that at the moment, even though you're thinking, right, next goal, next outcome. But actually, and then your body just was like, we're taking over, mate, that week later, obviously.
Yeah. But it's easy when you're not happy and you're struggling with something to then just look for another goal and look for something for the next thing to do. But yeah, I did. I just crashed and burnt and I said, I can't do it. So I didn't. I went to the show that I was supposed to do, and had a nice day and all the rest of it, and just enjoyed watching everybody else. I had friends that were competing there, so that was fine. Then I went back to this stage again of feeling
lost.
Just literally what I was about to say. I felt lost again. I had no idea what I was supposed to be doing, what I wanted to do. Again, food was still an issue because I never actually resolved that issue. I just went back to this, I need to compete again. So I never resolved that. So now that I'm back not competing, and I've still not resolved this issue, I still don't know how to live outside of this bodybuilding world. So then I thought, right, well, that was really, you know, crap trying to stand on a treadmill and run and not eat. So I know what I'll do. I'll do an offset. I'll do the other side of things, and I'll grow and I'll get bigger, even though I knew full well that I didn't want to look like that. It was just something mentally for me to control thought I was controlling.
Because an off-season, effectively, for the listeners, is basically obviously the part where you're not competing, which in my eyes is probably just as important as that part of when you are competing as well, isn't it? Because this is a time where people can tend to put on a load of unwanted body fat because they just go nuts on food, and then that leaves them in that horrible state of, oh my god, I've got to drop fat again, and you know what I mean? So the off season for me is just as important as that, obviously, in season part of before you're competing, right?
Definitely. Yeah, 100%, because the more fat you put on, the more fat you've got to lose at the end of it. So I went on to this trying to build muscle, and I did that for a little while. And I think you kind of mentioned at the start, I can just look at weights. And I definitely didn't look like that. But in my head, I don't know if you've seen that meme that it's like The Rock and he's got like a dress on, and it's like, what women think they look like if they lift more than a 5 kg dumbbell. But I actually felt that I did look like that. Like I genuinely, when I would try and put, you know, a nice outfit on, I just wasn't comfortable. And that's not to say that that's not a nice look. It just wasn't the look that I wanted for myself. I just kind of got to it, stumbled across it via this whole bodybuilding experience, not because I ever, in my life before, thought, oh, that's how I want to look, you know, that it was just a mechanism. So I've now got to a point where I'm a lot bigger. I'm not enjoying any of this experience because I'm
not
still
the training.
Lost all interest in it, to be honest, because it didn't feel, when I first started, you know, when my friend first came up to me and said, come on, I really enjoyed it. It was fun to go and do, you know, go to the gym and spend that time with friends because that's what you did. But when you either are restricting yourself, so you're on the cutting process as such, or when you have such a goal that you need to do, these other people then become a burden, and you become irritated and you become aggy and you don't want them around. You just want to go, you just want to get your session done so that you can get it done and get out as soon as possible, because you're either tired and hungry and you don't want to speak to anybody. And somebody just coming over and asking, how are you, is annoying, because you think, I'm trying to get my session done here and you're asking me how I am. How rude.
I've known you for years. I'm your friend and I just want to see how you're doing, mate. And you're biting my head off.
Yeah, exactly. So, the whole process suddenly then became a chore. My sessions weren't what I set out initially to start doing and what I enjoyed. They were just something that I had to get done in order to reach this goal. And that, you know, anybody else that was kind of there was just a nuisance in my way. And I probably didn't become a very nice person to actually be around or speak to. So, you start pushing people out as well.
And you're not happy with how you look either, are you?
No, I hated how I looked, which is crazy, because you're literally pulling yourself into the ground and dragging yourself in the ground, trying to look a certain way, a way that you don't actually even want to look.
For other people.
So, pardon?
And you're looking that way for other people, aren't you, effectively?
100%. None of it is for you. Absolutely none of it. It's all for other people. Looking a certain way, and actually, you know, things that you post and the way that you start to act, you really start to look for
affirmations,
just an acceptance, like, you know, or that it's okay. So, you know, when you're bigger than you were before, and in yourself, you don't feel good when you're putting on clothes and all the rest of it, you'll look for acceptance. So you'll post things of yourself and you'll say, you know, curvier girls or thicker girls, thicker than, you know, this, you know, and you start shaming other people, like for being thinner or whatever it might be, because it's easier in your head to do that, then you think, oh, well, then it's all right, you know, I am on the right path, or whatever it might be. Or you, when you're doing the cutting process as well, you're looking at your competition, or you're looking, you know, and you're saying, oh, they're definitely not thin enough, you know, they need to lose weight or whatever they're doing. They're tiny, you know, but you're just, you're, because you're so unhappy and miserable with your existence, you then start shaming and putting other people down, which again is completely out of character for me. So I've always been a really sociable person. I love speaking to people. I love just going to have chats and I'll get on with anyone. I'm now shaming other people. I'm now really trying to look for acceptance because I don't feel confident in myself, which is crazy because I've always been a really confident person as well. So actually everything of who I am got, just completely got lost. And you just get wrapped up. And then what you start doing is, because you're pushing your friends naturally away, the only people that, you know, you really can start to communicate is either your coach or other people that might be in that same situation as you. So all you're doing again is drawn more to where you don't want to be rather than coming away from it. So
you're doing this off season, turning into a knob, right? And then when did you have a realization of, I just don't, this is it? Do you know what I mean? When was that point of like, this is actually not me? Why am I putting myself through this?
It was probably an honest conversation about not feeling happy with how I looked. I knew I didn't want to get any bigger, and yet here I was trying to get bigger. But because I didn't want to get bigger, I would try and then diet loads as well, which is, for an off season, is just really bad because completely. So I would do these, like, mad diets where I would just eat next to nothing in order to just try and lose a little bit of weight because I was, you know, not happy and I was getting too big and all the rest of it. So it was just completely redundant and ridiculous. And I just thought it was an honest conversation of, who am I doing this for? Am I doing it for me or am I doing it for somebody else? And that was the conversation of, I'm doing all of this to stand in front of six judges who I don't even know, who don't know me, because I just want to please them and I want to win something. And that just, I think that was the realization of, nah, I'm done competing. I don't want to do it anymore. And I'd had enough. So I very much decided by that point, I'm not competing. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not happy. And for ages, even though I'd realized that I didn't want to compete, I still had not resolved the issue of how to not compete, how to live a life where you're not set, you know, your whole day is planned out for you. So I still kind of yo-yoed up and down loads. And then a bit of a turning point for me was I went to go and visit my sister in Bali randomly. I booked the trip about a week before. And my sister is very much into CrossFit, which historically I'd never done a CrossFit session in my life. But because I did bodybuilding, you know, if you did CrossFit, you were CrossFit wanker, essentially. Yeah. So it was always like, I would absolutely slate it to the heels and be like, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're talking about. Never done any, never even done it in my life. But, you know, obviously I knew better. But so I went and met her, and the whole reason she goes out there is she goes to a CrossFit gym called Wanderlust, which is run by quite a famous CrossFitter. And I went up because I am a bit of a laid back person naturally, even though that kind of got lost a lot in the whole bodybuilding thing. I just said, yeah, okay, come then, I'll come with you and we'll, you know, we'll do the sessions. And it was going back to a fitness, like, because I wasn't doing it for any particular purpose. I was just there to just, and because I do enjoy fitness. Like, that is something, like, that's why I've always done it in the past, is because I've naturally enjoyed it. So now I'm doing this for no reason, no purpose, other than to just be with my sister. We're on holiday. We're going to go to this CrossFit gym. I've absolutely loved it. I've just had the best time.
No pressure.
You know, it didn't matter if I'd never done it before, because they go through all the movements with you and you can scale it. So, you know, if they're doing some kind of movement that you think, oh, I couldn't even do that if I tried, doesn't matter, you can do this. Or, and if you can't even do that, then you can do this. And, you know, there's all sorts of ages, shapes, sizes, every, you know, it just didn't matter. Everyone does it together as well, which is which was great fun. Everyone spurred each other on, and I just really, really enjoyed it. I managed to, that for me brought fitness back to an enjoying
fun.
Which I'd completely lost. I, you know, every time I went to a session of going to the gym, it wasn't because I was going to enjoy it, or it was just literally because I felt like I had to get it done, because that was all I knew. So yeah, I then found a love for fitness, which was a bit of a turning point again, because I enjoyed it. So I was now going to just have fun, enjoy it, be with my sister, push myself, feel like you've had a good session, because you always do feel good after a good session. So yeah, that was a bit of a turning point for me there.
So you've come back from Bali. Have you carried on CrossFit?
I have, yeah. So I joined, well, I went to like a trial session back here, which was in Waterlooville. Absolutely loved it. Coaches were brilliant. Again, everyone that went there was brilliant. So yeah, just really, really enjoyed it, carried on, I didn't stay there for very long. I was probably only about a couple of months, because my life naturally led me back into the gym, from friends and relationship at the time. So I did go back to the gym. But what was nice at this point now is that I was still exercising for fun. So my love of fitness and going and enjoying fitness had resumed. So even when I was going to the gym again, I was still enjoying. It wasn't because I had a goal at the end of it. Yeah. It was just because I was going.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, because I kind of went back into this bodybuilding environment again, I then started putting on loads of muscle and probably getting waylaid in actually what I wanted to do. It was just a case of trying to lift as heavy as I can, which was ultimately putting on muscle. But then I didn't want to put on any muscle, but I enjoyed the fitness aspect, so I just carried on with it anyway. My head was all over the shop at this point again. I was just, what am I doing?
You just wanted to train and not get bigger and just enjoy the gym, right, and get stronger.
Well, so I remember having that conversation with you.
Yeah.
I remember saying, I don't want to put on any muscle, but every time I go to the gym, I just...
So is this all of that? Is there still an underlying issue with food? Because at the end of the day, I suppose you, I'm just assuming here, you haven't spoken to anyone professional, like a dietitian or anything like that. I don't know.
No. Yeah. So I think throughout this whole kind of process, I am, well, for the majority of it, I'm still kind of winging it, and I'm definitely still yo-yoing. So my dieting is definitely still crash, and then it's eat as much as you possibly like, and then binge. So I am still binging, definitely, and I am still crash dieting because I don't know any other method. And something that really got me out of that, I didn't go to a specialist or a dietitian or anything. I joined Slimming World, which for a lot of people, you know, and I dissed all of these diets for so long and just being like, calories in, calories out, all the rest of it, you know, and it's this is how you lose weight. But actually, my issue wasn't I needed to lose weight. My issue was I didn't know how to be around food. So I didn't, you know, I would look at food and think I can't eat that because it's, you know, whatever reason. I mean, to be honest, I remember at one point not eating an apple because an apple was something like 60 calories and so many grams of carbs, which was, I don't even know, what is it, like 16 grams of carbs or something like that? That's, I don't even know. But that felt like a lot. I was like, oh, that's a lot of carbs, so I can't do that.
And so, it's an apple, it's fruit.
Apple. It's an absolute apple. But I think, well, yeah, but if I didn't eat that and I saved them 60 calories and I didn't, and I saved them 16 grams of carbs, then maybe I could eat this instead.
What?
Pardon?
What would that other option be?
I don't know. I might put it towards like a bowl of oats or porridge. I was still on this kind of like, don't eat chocolate or anything like that. But then when I do eat chocolate, I would go well overboard and eat loads. So then you're back to the other situation of where you can't eat an apple again because you've just eaten all of this chocolate, which is completely, it's madness. But you're just all over the show. So I, doing that, it, my issue was, it wasn't understanding how to lose weight. I knew how to lose weight and I knew how to maintain weight. I knew all about food because that was all I'd obsessed with and focused on for so long. What I had lost was how to be around food and how to normally, or how to look at food in a different way. And that was very much what Slimming World taught for me, because when I'd say to people I'm doing Slimming World, they'd be like, you don't need to lose weight, like, it wasn't about the losing weight. I did lose weight actually on it, but it was because I think it was just because I carried on exercising and I'm quite a sporty person and I wasn't binging anymore. So that would have been a difference.
For the positive as well. Yeah, do you know what I mean? At the end of the
definitely. Day. But what it did do was it allowed me to cook again, which was something I always loved doing. I loved cooking. But I hadn't been able to do that because all, you know, that I thought I was supposed to be eating was this plain, boring food. So I'd, you know, hadn't done any kind of flavours or spices for so long because it was a case of keep it simple, keep it minimal and all the rest of it. But so I started cooking again, and the fact that you can eat unlimited amounts of pasta and rice and things like that, which again I know is looked at very badly, so it's like you can't eat all this pasta and lose weight, but it wasn't about that. It was about a case of not weighing things now.
Yeah, you gotta remember your reason to doing Slimming World is very different to Joe Bloggs, who wants to do Slimming World. Do you know what I mean? So you gain something different, you know. You just wanted to learn how to eat again. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas a lot of people that are doing Slimming World and all these other, say, diets, they're not doing that. They have the outcome of trying to drop fat. So you're coming in at a different angle.
Yeah. And my initial going into it was to lose weight. But actually what I then got out of it afterwards was the tutorial about food. Again, essentially. So I'd now stopped weighing things because that became a real issue. I couldn't eat anything unless I knew how many grams it was and how much it weighed and all the rest of it. Which, if you are overweight and you are dieting and that's your goal, then there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But you know, for me coming out of this, it was I had issues with food. So I, you know, that something that was just going to completely make it worse. So I'm now not weighing foods. I'm eating tastier food because a lot of the Slimming World recipes, you know, you have unlimited amounts of spices and, you know, they introduce making sure that you use unlimited things like Worcester sauce and tomato puree and passata and yogurts and all these kind of things. So you're looking at recipes now because you're allowed all these things and you want to make it taste nice, and they advertise lots of different recipes. So you're cooking wholesome, really tasty dinners and tasty lunches, good breakfasts. So because I'm now enjoying cooking again and I'm eating the foods that I've, you know, your body does need, I'm not needing to binge or do anything because actually I'm satisfying myself with the foods that I'm eating. What it does also do is you have what they call SINs, which I know a lot of people say is bad because they say that can make you look at foods wrong and you shouldn't look at foods like that. But it wasn't that you're not allowed them at all. It's just that you have to control the amount of those foods that you eat, which well, we do, unless you know, unless you want to go and eat a whole massive chocolate bar and every day. If you did that, then you would naturally put on weight. And I like to look slim. I always, you know, I don't I'm not one of these people that I'm going to say I don't care what I look like, you know. Eat the cake if you want to eat the cake, because it's also okay if you do want to maintain a certain look and stay a certain way. But if you do, then you have to control those measures. And that's what it did. I was still allowed to enjoy wine, which I love wine. I love gin. You know, I do love a drink. I'm still allowed to go and enjoy those things and not feel bad. And I'm still allowed to enjoy chocolate and stuff again and not feel bad, as long as it just fit in my SIM regime. So I was just controlling food. I was enjoying food again, which was a massive difference because I didn't enjoy food. It was an obsession that I'd be constantly thinking about. Always thinking about when's my next meal, when can I eat? My whole entire existence started to just revolve around when I could eat next, what I was going to be allowed to eat, how I would make the most of what I'm going to eat out of such a little thing. And then what you do is you forget about everything else that's going on around you because you're so obsessed with food, which is a huge sign of that you are just completely restricting yourself of what your body needs, because that's all you can think about, and you then lose track on having anything else. Do you know what I mean? You don't actually need it. Well, like sometimes you don't always need it, but you're just so obsessed with it. That's all you can think about. So I'm now not, you know, I've come out of this obsession.
How long was this after the first time you competed? 2 years?
Year and a half or something, at least away now I am from competing. I'm in this kind of category still. I'm still going to the gym and lifting all of these weights, by the way, which is, you know, again, although I'm having fun and I'm enjoying it, I'm still moving towards a way that I didn't feel comfortable with. And there were multiple other reasons around that as well, but at least with my food, I felt like I was getting on track. I think the way of the fitness, how that was still affecting me, was I still very much felt that I had to look constantly a certain way. And that affected me, my self-confidence and what I would do, because, you know, I wouldn't allow myself to enjoy myself too much or whatever, because I still felt I had to be a certain way, had to look a certain way. And if you went to the gym and you were this person, then you had to act and you had to be a certain way. So I still wasn't quite myself. There was still pressures there, but I had definitely kind of got over this scaremonger of food, which was, you know, a massive hurdle to get over. And it's funny because I look at foods now and I still get all the time, people will say to me, you know, how do you, I'll post like my dinner or whatever, and they'll be like, how do you eat this food and not gain weight? It's like, literally, so many people, if I had a pound every time someone say to me, how are you not, you know, how are you not ridiculously fat with all this food you eat? And what's hilarious is that I'll post like a spaghetti bolognese with a bit of garlic bread. And I'll be like, I didn't think this food was like bad. Do you know what I mean? Like, just it's a spaghetti bolognese. But there's this, I don't even know where it's come from. There's this thing around food that if it's not plain meat and plain with a bit of veg, then it's bad. But what's hilarious is that a lot of bodybuilders, they will post mince and pasta, right? Mince and pasta, nothing else. And you think, right, okay. And then I think about my spaghetti bolognese, which is
mince
and pasta. But because I've put like half a tin of passata, nice garlic, you know, some mixed herbs, bit of Worcester sauce in there, thicken it up with a bit of tomato puree, and then, you know, put a little bit of sprinkle of cheese and a slice of garlic bread on the side, all of a sudden this meal is like, I can't eat that. And it's like, I've probably added about 50 calories with the passata and all of everything else in it, and a few extra on the garlic bread, and I've had a really, really nice dinner that's tasty and that I've enjoyed, rather than this horrible untasty dinner which is just going to leave you afterwards feeling like you need to taste something good. And because your savory foods has not done it, you naturally think, well, it's going to have to be something sweet and delicious and chocolatey or whatever it may be, and that's when you're just, you actually end up eating more because you're trying so hard to not eat those other things. You eat what you feel is right, but then because that hasn't done, and you know, you're not still not satisfied, you're then eating the things that you told yourself you couldn't eat in the first place anyway, so you're actually just double eating, double handling yourself. So yeah, it's funny, I'll post like a really nice curry, you know, I love making homemade curries and all the rest of it, and people again, you know, how do you eat all this food and stay slim? And really, if I posted boiled plain chicken and rice, the only difference is literally some really nice onions, peppers, tomatoes, bit of stock in there, you know, like that's, and that's essentially it, a bit of passata again. Just people just, it's just a case of as soon as you put those meals, like those added things to it, it becomes a bad meal, yeah. Which is ludicrous. That is crazy.
It's just coming from where everything is. There's such a big focus, isn't there, on cows in versus cows out.
Yeah.
And that's that big. And when actually, like, if you, I guarantee if some people were to, say, add those, let's say they didn't want to add those things because they wanted to save those calories. And what actually usually happens is they save those calories for, let's say, something that's not a great nutritional choice, isn't it? I'm going to save that for my fucking, what are those things called? Pop-Tart. Do you know what I mean? It's like, anyway, it's like a bodybuilding thing. But you know what I mean? You're like, so you're having actually, one of your like good meals, you're cutting out all these other little things that could make it taste 10 times better because you're choosing it for, you're like replacing those calories for something that's doesn't but really offer you any nutritional value.
Yeah. But it goes back to that obsession over calories and about what you're putting in and what you're eating and about trying to save all of these things for something else. And personally, for me, it was just not healthy. It took, you know, away the fun in foods. Food felt like a chore. Although it's funny because you do nothing but obsess about it and think about it. But it's also a chore at the same time because it's a burden on your life having to think about so many things all the time rather than just enjoying it. And, you know, you become this, I don't even know where it came from. It's almost like it's fashionable now for females to go out and be seen eating a burger or be seen eating a pizza, but these same girls that are fashionable eating all these things are like really in shape and tight. So it's almost like you see, oh, I need to go out and eat that, but I need to look like this as well. But you can't sustain that. That is not sustainable in any way, shape, or form. And it's also having the confidence and the knowledge to say, yeah, I can go out and I can enjoy a burger, but actually, if I want to stay slim and I want to look a certain way, it's okay for me to also choose a salad option. That's fine. If you want to eat a salad, I love a salad. But, you know, I eat salads quite a lot and I absolutely pile it with roasted vegetables and fruits and things like that, which I put on it, which is really filling and actually it's really tasty. And I love a salad. And if someone said to me, oh, you're not going to, you know, you're going to choose a salad. What's all that about? Yeah, I am. I'm going to enjoy my salad and I'm going to really like it. And another time, if I want to go out and have a burger, then I'll have a burger at the same time. But it's coming away with actually, you know, that judgment on what you should do and what you shouldn't do and what's right and what's not right. And just, I don't know. I don't even know where this, I think the bodybuilding world or even fitness world now, what you see is very impressionable on what you think is right. You know, you lose everything else and you just see this social media of you should be going out and eating burgers. And if you want to eat the cake, then you eat the cake. And if you, you know, eat a whole massive pizza, you know, oh yeah, I can eat a massive pizza, it's not an issue, but at the same time you want to, you know, you don't want to be overweight. But you can't do it, it's not a thing. So it's just a case of finding what you feel comfortable with, how you want to be. And that's a huge thing. You know, that's, I learned that, and the friends that I have now are very much a case of, they'll live their life to be the way they want to be or the way they want to look, and that won't impact anything else either. Yeah. So that's always healthy, who you surround yourself with and things like that as well. So yeah.
Have you ever been messaged by other ladies about like this sort of stuff and advice? Has anyone ever asked you for advice? Because I know you've said something about this before.
Yeah, I've had quite a few people message me saying, you know, just seeing, obviously, you know, your competing pictures and all the rest of it, and been thinking about doing the same. Mm. You know, what it could have been a conversation of, would you, you know, what would be your recommendation in going into it, or a coach, whatever it might be. And a lot of the time, the girls are a lot younger than me, shall we say. You know, because I'm not old, but I'm no spring chicken in terms of what, you know, a lot of the girls in the gym now, you know, they're in their teens.
Mm.
And I would never, ever tell anybody not to do it, because yeah. It's a completely personal choice. If that's what you want to do, and that's what you feel is right, and you can enjoy it, because just because of my experience doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be somebody no. else's. But if I can share the bits that you don't see, because this whole time that I was in this really insecure state, that never ever got shared. So people that yeah. were viewing my stories at the time and seeing us, they would never see me in a bad state of mind. So that was never shown. And I think it's really important now, when I do have those questions, I'm very open and honest. And I will say, it's probably only been in the last maybe 6 to 8 months that I've just felt completely comfortable with who I am, in my, comfortable in my own skin, comfortable around food. You know, I can go to a party and there can be all sorts of foods and I don't feel pressurized by it, or feel that I need to eat it, or feel that I can't eat it. And that's when you think, if I, you know, it was quite some years ago that this all kind of started, and it's only yeah. been that time now that I've really.
So what's that? What would that be? How long would that be? Three to four years, maybe.
It was 2017. I think I competed. Yeah, I think you are right. So it's quite some years that it's taken me to
recover.
Recover, definitely. And I just think that's really important that I express that and how it yeah. did really affect my eating, and the bits that you don't see. And I'm just very open and honest. So that's all I can do. I say, I would never want to tell anybody not to do it. All I'd want to do is just give my experience as honest as I can, in the hope that they can then make their own judgment on how they feel that they would do. And everyone that I have spoken to has actually never gone on to compete from it, really. And actually, I've been quite shocked when I've said certain things.
Yeah.
You know, of how I felt, how I was, how lonely it was, definitely. They've been quite shocked, and that was something that they just never really knew, because they just see this glamorous pictures of all these girls on stage in these wonderful bikinis, you know, looking fit. And if you took what that person was doing and eating and being, and took away the competition side of things,
yeah,
you would probably naturally, and that was your friend, you'd probably be quite naturally worried about them. If they kept saying, I can't go to a, you know, if I was open and every time someone invited me to something, I'd say, the reason actually I don't want to go to that event is because I'm going to be really nervous about what's on the menu or what food I'm going to have and what drink I'm going to have, because what I'll probably do is I'll probably feel like I've eaten too much and drunk too much. The next day, I'll probably starve myself and overwork myself in order to try and burn that off. If you were openly honest and said that to someone, they'd go...
They would see that and be like, red flag.
Yeah, 100%. But you don't. You make up all of these other excuses and you say it's because you're working towards this bodybuilding competition, and then it's suddenly okay. It's all right because you've got this competition there that you're doing, and then it's like, oh, well, yeah, no, then it is all right that she doesn't go, and it is all right she doesn't eat that, and it is all right that, you know, I remember sat there at my mum's table when she's cooked a dinner and I've said, I can't eat that. She's like, do you want a bit of salad with that? No. I remember screaming at her. She was like, it's a tomato. Like, surely you can have a tomato. No, I can't have a tomato. Like
yeah.
There's a bit of salad in a tomato. And I would be screaming, you don't understand. You don't get it. I can't have a tomato. It's a fucking tomato. Like, and I'm screaming at her, saying I can't have it. I look back and I just think, I can't believe. Like,
sorry, mum.
But because you're just so miserable and it's everyone else's fault, but it's, you know, but your own. And all of it matters is this end result. And actually the whole process to it is was really just miserable. But that was just my experience. That doesn't mean that's for, you know, some people genuinely enjoy that process. And
I think it's like, there's some people who it's right for and there's some people it's not, like most things, isn't there, when it comes to any sort of sport or lone wolf bloody thing that you end up doing. Some people it's going to suit and some people it's not going to suit at the end of the day. So if you was to, so hopefully there, if there's anyone that's aspiring to compete, young ladies or lads, what would you advise them before doing that? What would you say?
I would say, if they really, really did want to do it, speak to a lot of, do your research at the start. So speak to a lot of people that have been through it. People that are still competing now, people that aren't competing anymore and that have gone through it. And not that I ever would go back to do another show, but I think if, you know, if I really had to, I would almost have a, not a therapist, but it could just be a friend or a family member that you've agreed to be completely honest with that entire time. Someone who is not your fitness coach. You'd almost have a fitness coach on a way that you need to look, but you need somebody else, like a mind coach.
Yeah, almost. To keep you, just someone to keep you in check.
Yeah, because anyway, when someone's looking at your body all the time, which is right, people do, you know, you do need a coach to look at your figure and see what it is that you need to change and, you know, what you should be doing in terms of going up or down, all the rest of it. That's really important. But at the same time, you can then start to lose the aspect of what's going on in their head. And regardless of whether someone said, I'm struggling, sometimes you might think, well, yeah, you're struggling, but you also want to get on the stage and look that way. So then you kind of take that to the side.
Yeah.
Don't lose yourself and don't, you know, just be open, be honest. And the best bit of advice, actually, I gave this to someone the other day, speak to yourself how you would speak to your best friend. Tell yourself that. Tell yourself what it is you're doing. Almost talk as if you're talking to your best friend, or talk as if you're hearing it from your best friend. What would you say back? If your friend said to you, I'm really struggling, I want to just binge all the time, or I don't want to put myself in an environment which I would usually really enjoy, what would be your answer back to them? Would it be, go and starve yourself a bit more and get on the treadmill? Or would it be, right, okay, this is obviously a show that you want to do, but maybe it's all just becoming a little bit too much for you. Maybe we need to take the reins off a little bit, do a later show, if you know, work a little bit slower, whatever it may be. You would have a very different answer for your friends than you would have yourself. Yeah. And I just think that's why it's important to have a friend that you are open and honest, because at least then you're getting those answers that you probably should have.
All right. Great point. A great way to look at that. Just obviously having that open conversation with yourself. And yeah, that's actually quite a good way to do it. And did that, obviously not going to name that person, did they come back to you after that and say, oh, that was actually, you know, the person who you advised to do that? What did they say after?
What about the friend thing?
Yeah.
So actually, that was just because you asked me how I would do it. But I'd never say, I was that person.
Oh, okay.
At the time.
Oh, sorry. Right.
I just kind of gave my experience, and I did. I just gave my experience, how it went. The fact that I would, you know, obviously choose not to do that again because of the mind and the state that I got into, and the fact that, you know, I've only kind of just come out of it. And, you know, they've always just kind of been a little bit shocked from it, really, in the terms of, because it's not what people show, because it's not glamorous and it's not nice. And you don't want to be judged all the time.
It's not the hard.
No, and just go back to what you want to do and what you enjoy, not what you think other people want to see or what you think they enjoy. Like, I love my CrossFit now. Like, I really enjoy it. You know, I enjoy the people that I go with. We're all in it together. You know, Marcus has built such a great community there as well, which is a lot of what CrossFit is about. I'm not saying everyone needs to go and do that, but I'm just saying whatever you do it because you enjoy it and you want to go there, not because it's a burden. If it ever starts to feel like a burden or a chore, then you wouldn't do it normally. So don't do it.
All right. So thank you, Rose, for your talking about your journey. I do hope if anyone listens to this, it's you know, they can take away something from this, and definitely message myself. And if you feel the need to message Rose, I will obviously send her. Well, I'm not going to give out your number, but I'll send out like the relative information if you want to have a chat with her, just to obviously, if that's okay with you, just because, you know,
of course,
because you're the person that's competed, you're the person that's walked the walk and gone through that experience. So I know that you, because you've done this before, I know you've helped a lot of people by just being honest, brutally honest about the, you know, your advice, which has obviously, you know, steered hopefully some people down the right path. So thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.